And welcome aboard another edition of Diasporic Music. My name is Norman Otis Richmond, and today we are going to pay homage to Dr. Martin Luther King.
We want to do a tune written for today, for this hour, for Dr. Martin Luther King. We stated before that the whole program is dedicated to his memory, but this tune is written about him and for him. And so we had yesterday to learn it, and so we'll see. Once upon this planet Earth lived a man humbled, preaching love and freedom for his fellow men. He was dreaming of the day peace would come to earth to stay, and he spread this message all across the land. Turn the other cheek, he'd bleed. Love thy neighbor was his creed. Pain, humiliation, death, he did not dread. With his Bible at his side, from his foes he did not hide. It's hard to think this great man is dead. Oh yeah. Well, the murders never cease. Are they men or are they beasts? What do they ever hope to gain? Will my country fall, stand or fall? Is it too late for us all? And if Martin Luther King just died in vain, cause he'd seen the mountaintop, and he knew he could not stop, always living with a threat of death ahead. Folks, you'd better stop and think, cause we're headed for the brink. What will happen now that he is dead? He was for equality for all people, you and me. Full of love and goodwill, hate was not his way. He was not a violent man.
people, will they ever learn? Must you always kill with burn and burn with guns and kill with guns and burn? Don't you know how we got to react? Don't you know what it will bring? But he had seen the mountaintop. And he knew he could not stop. Always living with the dread of death ahead. Hope you'd better stop and think. Everybody knows we're on the brink. What will happen now that the king's dead? Was it he'd seen the mountaintop? And he knew he could not stop. Always living with the dread of death ahead. Folks, you'd better stop and think and feel again. Are we headed for the brink? Gonna happen now in all of our cities, our people about it. They're living in life, even if they have to die, even if they have to die at the moment that they know what life is. Even at that one moment that you know what life is, if you have to die, it's all right, 'cause you know what life is. You know what freedom is for one moment of your life. What's gonna happen now that the king of I heard that, we've heard all kinds of stories, but I heard that this was his favorite song, at least near the end of his life. Last year, a year ago, maybe more longer than that now, Lorraine Hansberry left us, and she was a dear friend. And she has her favorite song, and Langston Hughes left us, Coltrane left us, Otis Redding left us. You can go on. Do you realize how many we have lost? Then it really gets down to reality, doesn't it? Not a performance. Not microphones, not that crap. but really something else. We've lost a lot of them in the last 2 years. But we have remaining Monk, Miles,
Nina.
I love you too. And of course, for those that we have left, we're thankful, but we can't afford any more losses. Oh no. Oh my God. They're shooting us down one by one. Don't forget that. Because they are. Killing us one by one. Well, all I have to say is that those of us who know how to protect those of us that we love, stand by them and stay close to them. And I say that if there'd been a couple of more, a little closer to Dr. King, he wouldn't have got it, you know, really. Just a little closer to him. Stay there. Stay there. We can't afford any more losses. He has seen mountaintops, and he knew he could not stop. Always living with a threat. Dead ahead, come on, Sam. Folks, you gotta stop that.
Call me. My name is Saffron.
The Maasai warriors and strong. Rishi Mongolian, Mandingo Mohegan, Mestizo Yoga Mexican, Aaron Martin, Matthew Kishner, Elijah McCoy, and many Indians, the magnificent Montague, and the Linga Major Dishes for the U. Remember Hellier Jackson, the Piggy Parker, Neil McKinney, the Man Man Marlin, Marlon Bailey, Billy Mason, like Superstar Sensation.
It's a mighty, it's a mighty, I used no say. Jabba with the high town shot. He's a Tommy with the one shot. Coming from the Jabba with the high town shot. He's a Tommy with the one drop.
Diasporic Music. My name is Norman Otis Richmond, and that was Raff Jimmy Hyman, a.k.a. Jimmy Williams, out of Los Angeles, California, something called Mighty M's, and Martin Luther King, Bob Marley, Marcus Garvey, Malcolm X, he dealt Medgar Evers, Mahalia Jackson, anybody's name that started with an M, he put them in there. And Raff Jimmy Hyman out of Los Angeles, California. We also heard from D.D. Bridgewater, a piece called Red Earth, A Malian Journey. And we heard her do Nina Simone's Four Women. And we also heard from Nina Simone herself. Nina Simone gave us Why the King of Love is Dead. And April the 4th will be the 40th anniversary of the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King. And also April the 6th will be the assassination of Little Bobby Hutton, the first person in the Black Panther Party to be murdered by the state. And we are honoring Martin Luther King and Little Bobby Hutton and all the martyrs that have been slain by the state. And Mumia Abu-Jamal, we have very bad news to report to you about Mumia Abu-Jamal. The state has denied his wish for a new trial, and there will be a demonstration tomorrow at 6 p.m. in front of the U.S. consulate. That's at Dundas and University, Dundas and University. And we are calling for all listeners of CKLN and listeners of Diasporic Music, Saturday Morning Live. And even if you listen to the radio shows on CKLN that are not so progressive, I'm certain that they would support Mumia Abu-Jamal. Hopefully they support Mumia Abu-Jamal. But right now we wanted to change the pace. We have an interview coming up very shortly with Carvin Winans. But first we want to listen to some good music from Bobby Womack. Now, Bobby Womack was a gospel artist. He went into R&B, rock and roll. And in 1999, he recorded, about 9 years ago, he went back to gospel and did a gospel CD called Back to My Roots. And he had a song called More Than I Can Stand, where he talked about, girl, don't pull the rug from under my feet. And he went back and switched the lyrics a little bit, and like Sam Cooke used to do, we're going to listen to Rug, and then we're going to listen to an interview with Carvin Winans.
Now I'm sitting here reminiscing about the good old days, singing gospel music with my brother, my father, FIFA, Harry, Bobby, Daphne, Curtis, and Prince. See, we call ourselves the Womack Brothers. See, before we were even born, my father prayed for 5 sons. Hey, God, would you bless me with them, and I would teach them to sing your praises. Well, he got his wish, but not knowing that as we grew older, we would want the material things in life. And I remember the first time I told my father that we wanted to sing rock and roll. That was the first time I saw my daddy cry. I remember him saying, what does it profit a man to gain the world and lose his soul? But I know that now, absolutely nothing. Don't put a rug come under my feet. Baby boy, don't leave it so talking in my a nightmare. Waking up and not finding you near. It would be more than I could stand. God, don't mean it so. I'm facing a poor.
I could.
See, one thing I understand is that God would never pull a rug from under your feet.
No, he won't.
He's a forgiving God.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
You might forget him when things are going right in your own time. Who is to make that vow? Who's the first person you call on?
I'm speaking with Carvin Winans, and how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well. Doing well, thank you.
Now, you are part of a very famous musical family. I like to get to know the family in terms of you guys are from Detroit. Where did the Winans family originate from? Did you originate from Detroit, or did you come out of Georgia or Alabama, Tennessee?
No, we were all born and raised in Detroit.
What about your parents?
Yes, with our parents.
Your parents, were born in?
Yeah, they were born in Detroit, too.
Mm-hmm, okay.
I think our great-grandparents maybe somewhere from, like, Mississippi, the Mississippi area.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you guys are part of the whole history of Detroit.
Yes.
Now, how much did the city of Detroit have, did it influence you guys in terms of Reverend C.L. Franklin? I know... he was a legendary figure in terms of gospel music. You are relatively young. You're one of the younger Winans.
Well, I'm 50 years old now, so.
You're 50?
Yeah, my mom and dad had 10.
Mm.
Yeah.
I thought you were one of the. You're a junior, right?
No. Carvin Jr. is my son.
Okay, I'm getting mixed up. I thought I was speaking to Carvin Jr.
No.
Oh, okay.
Carvin Senior.
All right. So, but how much did the city of Detroit have an influence on you in terms of gospel? Was it Detroit and other parts of the United States, or primarily Detroit that influenced you?
Well, it was primarily Detroit, basically, because when we were kids, we didn't do a lot of traveling, you know. So the music, and not just gospel music, it was, we were not allowed to listen to secular music in the house,
mm-hmm.
but of course we heard it, you know, through our friends and going to school and everything, but, it wasn't just gospel music that influenced us, but just the Motown sound in itself, had some bearings on our musical likes and desires, but I didn't know too much about C.L. Franklin, you know. My mm-hmm. dad probably did, but I didn't know too much about him.
right.
but yeah, just the whole musical gospel and the Motown sound had an influence on us.
Well, I was always in love with David Ruffin and William Howard Weegee of the Dramatics. Those were two of my favorite singers when it, you know, came to singing. I really loved... I love William Howard and Ruffin.
Yeah.
Now you have a couple of new pieces out, Universal Love and When You Cry. Could you talk about those two pieces?
They're not really new. Those two songs came from Universal Love was the Winans' last studio recording, which was in '96.
Mm-hmm.
Album called Heart and Soul, and the When You Cry was from the album, the Winans' probably best-selling record, which went gold, and that was the Winans' Return, which had When You Cry, it had It's Time, a song we did with Teddy Riley. We had a song on there we did with Stevie Wonder called Every Day the Same. It was a pretty big record for us.
Mm-hmm. And how do you feel about gospel music today in terms of airplay and... the media, do you feel that there is a groundswell or is it a standstill in terms of gospel music?
Yeah, I think it's a standstill. I don't think gospel has ever gotten its fair shake when it comes to radio. I really don't. I think that it's always been an afterthought when it comes to radio. It may be more popular than it has been in the past, but still I don't think it gets its fair shake when it comes to radio airplay and even TV video time, you know? But it still seems to keep its head above water.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Now, the African Americans in terms of gospel music have influenced music from all around the world. I know that the Fisk Jubilee Singers, I think it was way back in 1873, toured Europe. When I mean Europe, I'm talking about Russia. There was no Soviet Union then. They toured all over Europe. And they knocked, the socks off of people around the world. And gospel music, I guess, is probably the first form of black music to really take the world by storm. Have you guys had the opportunity to perform outside of the United States very much?
Oh, yes. Matter of fact, when we first went to London, England, we were a big hit over there. You would have thought we were the Beatles. they would, before we even got there, our first tour to London, we had sold out every show. I think we did like 5 shows, and everything was sold out before we even got there. And they had to pick us up, the security had to pick us up and carry us to our buses. The people were just that excited about us being over there. And ever since then, you know, London, England has always been, you know, open arms for the Winans. And also in Africa and Switzerland and different parts of Europe. In Japan.
Oh, Japan.
In Japan we were big.
What part of Africa did you guys go to?
We went to, I believe it was Abidjan. It was on the Ivory Coast.
Abidjan is, Ivory Coast or Côte d'Ivoire. They have 2 names, but it's Ivory Coast, right?
Right.
And they speak French, but you had no problem getting over in with the language. It was no problem, huh?
No, no problem. I didn't have much to say. it was no problem for me at all.
So you can't hit a little parlez-vous français?
No, I don't know. I don't know French. I wish I did. I think it's a wonderful language.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful language, you know.
Uh-huh. Now, when you come to Toronto, exactly what is going to be taking place this Sunday?
Well, this Sunday I'll be doing a couple songs with the Toronto Mass Choir and Karen Burke, who's the directress over there. And they're doing, like, I think about 9 songs. And it should be, I think, a wonderful evening of singing and praise. It's an honor to. I had a chance to hear them in rehearsal yesterday, and they really sound great. You know, the choir sounds wonderful. And so I'm doing a song that I wrote for my sister Cece and one of her, I think it was, the album was called In the Throne Room.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing a song called All in Your Name with the choir. And then I'll do something from the Winans' repertoire, you know.
Right.
But it should be a very fun evening and an evening filled with a lot of good singing.
Okay, now April 4th will mark the, April 4th, 2008, will mark the 40th anniversary of the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King. And Carvin Winans, what are your views on gospel music and the movement for social justice?
Well, I think, you know, gospel music, if you look at the injustice that black people have had to deal with pretty much all our lives, a lot of songs come from the way we've been treated and the way we've been handled down through the years. A lot of times when you go through your different trials and things, some of your best songs come from that. And Martin Luther King was a man that definitely stood for justice, not just for the black people, but for everybody. And I think it's a very momentous occasion coming up. I think you said the 40th year, right?
Yes, April 4th, 1968.
Right, and I remember that. I was very small, very young at that time, but I definitely remember when it happened because my mom was just sitting in the living room just crying, you know. But and as I got to know more about him as I got older, he was definitely a great man when it came to social rights and equality, you know, for everybody. And so, but a lot of that music, a lot of the old hymns have come from the hard times that black people have had to just deal with. And it still goes on, really.
Well, how much has a person like Michael Eric Dyson influenced you? He's from Detroit as well, and he's one of the, I guess, foremost African-American writers, and he is, a minister of the gospel, and he's keeping that social justice thing happening, and I'm looking at a book that he's getting ready to publish called April 4th, 1968. It's coming out in, a few days. What are your thoughts on Michael Eric Dyson?
Well, to tell you the truth, I can't really comment on that because I don't really know that much about him.
Mm-hmm.
That may be shocking, but I don't.
Well,
I don't know that much about him.
Now, Detroit also is, you know, Malcolm X lived in Detroit, or they called him Detroit Red. He really came out of, Lansing, Michigan. Did he have any influence on you or any of the Winans?
No. Our, Malcolm X, of course, was in the Muslim religion, and we are from a Pentecostal background.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, they don't mix, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so he really had no influence on us, you know. I think it was some good things that he stood for, you know. But as far as influencing the Winans and our beliefs and swaying us one way or the other, I don't think he had any influence on us at all.
Now, the Pentecostal church is a very, very... A lot of activity takes place in the Pentecostal church in terms of, I guess, in the Pentecostal church, people can play instruments and so on and so forth, and it's the opposite of going to a Catholic mass in terms of its very, very Afrocentric, for lack of a better word.
Well, it's very lively.
Yeah.
I would say. It's
right,
very lively.
Right.
And I think the reason for that is because, you know, throughout the Bible, the Lord, you know, talks about, you know, praising him and lifting him up in voice and in song and in music, you know, and being happy about it and being happy about what God has done in your life and how he's kept you from day to day. And even when we talk about the old times that Martin Luther King marched for, you know, those were great times. Those were very troubled times, but God still kept his people from day to day, you know, like he does today. And I think the Pentecostal church is lively is because we really cherish that, and we don't take it for granted. When you can wake up and have the activities of your limbs and everything is working right and you're in your right mind, I think that's something to praise God for. And so when we're together under one roof and one accord, it's just, you know, you praise God, you lift up your voice, you're not ashamed of it, and you make some noise, you know, make a joyful noise, as the Bible says.
Mm-hmm. Now, who are some of the...
It was out on a hill. Oh,
Still Black, Still Strong, 25 years of diasporic music. Celebrate 25 years with Norman Richmond on the radio.
And you're listening to CKLN. That was the voice of Mumia Abu-Jamal, who is not going to be granted a new trial. We're going to have a demonstration tomorrow at 6 p.m. in front of the U.S. consulate, which is on University in Dundas, and we're calling on all of our listeners to this station to come out in support of Mumia Abu-Jamal. This is the time we need to support Mumia Abu-Jamal. When we call, Mumia answered, and now Mumia is calling for us, and we need to answer him. Cuba called, and when Africa called, Cuba answered, and many times Mumia Abu-Jamal was called upon to say something about a situation in America, a situation in the Caribbean, a situation in Africa, a situation in Europe, a situation on any place on this earth where there were oppressed people. Mumia Abu-Jamal was always there. And we are calling on you to come to the U.S. consulate tomorrow and support our brother and our comrade, Mumia Abu-Jamal.